The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up and get out for the Lakers. Was yesterday the last straw in Los Angeles? And if so, who takes the blame? Meanwhile, Mr. Mahomes says ta-ta, Tyreek, and then tells you why his is still the team to beat in the loaded AFC. Plus, the piece de resistance. Don't miss Magic Johnson in our studio for a half hour of hoops and life. All that and more on a Monday as we get up with you starting right now. And look at the team we put together today. We're ready to go. Graziano's here. Neek has made his way up here. Timmy Legs has a bunch of basketball to talk. And we have got Damian Woody standing by. That's the actual Sistine ceiling in his background there. He had it moved from Rome. Jam-packed we are. And we begin as we must, Timmy Legs, with the redemption of the night in Minneapolis, the women's NCAA championship. The coaches were ready, and so was the star. Aaliyah Boston for South Carolina would not be stopped.
No, absolutely not. Confident against this team. They took it to them from the beginning of the game and turned that defense up too. But look at Paige Bueckers right here.
She's
Steph Curry, like, my goodness.
Whew. She did everything she could. UConn down by 8 at the half, but in the fourth quarter, too much South Carolina. This is Boston playing defense and turning it into offense. They won't catch Destiny Henderson.
Yeah, they were 5 up chest-to-chest all night, and this, again, their defense is what triggered their offense the entire game. Gino Auriemma pretty frustrated.
There it comes again. That's Boston. That's Henderson. Henderson with a career-high 26, and sweet redemption for Aaliyah Boston, who was named the most outstanding player of the Final Four as South Carolina wins the national championship. And afterward, Boston stopped to chat with our Holly Rowe.
How do you describe the sacrifice and the work that has brought you to this very moment?
Holly, it feels amazing. And honestly, I've been thinking about this since last season because everyone had a picture of me crying at the end of the Final Four, and they played everywhere as if that was some type of... But today we're national champions. And I need tears, Holly. I need tears. So if you guys want to smile, here you go. And we're national champions.
A great moment that is. South Carolina, the 12th wire-to-wire AP number one team to win the national championship. They finish with a program record 35 wins this year. They were a perfect 14-0 against ranked opponents. Congratulations, South Carolina, champions of the basketball world. Okay, now to the opposite end of the spectrum, Timmy Legler, and that would be the Lakers taking on the Nuggets. Anthony Davis in the lineup. LeBron James was not. And here's AD showing you some things only he can do.
Well, it just makes you wonder what this would have looked like if he had been healthy all season. But AD, and he was gimping around a lot throughout the game, still looking at that foot a lot, but still very productive.
Russell Westbrook right before the half. We haven't seen a lot of that this year. He just always does look better when LeBron's not out there. Westbrook would finish with 27 with the Lakers down 1 at the half, and then the second half belonged to Nikola Jokic.
It did. He's one of the smartest players in the league, one of the most dominant, and there's really no answer for him on that end of the floor because he can score from anywhere on the court.
And he can give it up to teammates like Will Barton, who would knock that one down. Barton had 25. Jokic, 38 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists. His MVP candidacy is very much in full effect. But the Lakers may very well now really be done. With that loss and a San Antonio win, the Lakers find themselves 2 games back of the Spurs for the final play-in spot. And I would add, functionally, it's even worse than that because they lose the tiebreaker. Here was Anthony Davis afterwards, Legs, what you were talking about, knows it is all but over and what could have been.
There's no moral victories in this league, you know, especially with us. The whole world want to see us lose. You know, I think the biggest thing that I think about personally is what we could have been, you know, if we stay healthy all year. What could we have been? You know, we put this team together. We look really good on paper, but we haven't had a chance to reach that potential with guys being, you know, in and out of the lineup. So the most frustrating part about, you know, this season, just not being sure what we could have been.
I will remind you that when the season began in Las Vegas, the Lakers were the favorites to win the Western Conference. This obviously has been anything but what they imagined. So if we are pointing a finger of blame with maybe the final nail going in the coffin yesterday, who do we point it at?
Well, the top of the list has to be injuries. I mean, you have to start there because clearly that's what derailed their season, but it's also roster construction. The pieces didn't fit. Russell Westbrook really never got into any sort of rhythm playing alongside LeBron James. And then even when you look at the supporting cast, they went very old. They went with veterans, and when you do that, there's less emphasis on the regular season. There's just no way you're going to get a group of veterans to buy into an 82-game regular season meaning that much. They assumed all along if they were healthy and they had three star players, no matter where they ended up in the seeding, they could make a run and get all the way to the finals and win a championship. Unfortunately, this thing just got out of control here in the second half of the year, and defensively, really, there was no culture there whatsoever, because you can grind your way through injuries if you have a culture of getting stops and getting in people and being physical. That wasn't the case for the Lakers. People's eyes lit up when they saw the purple and gold jerseys in front of them. They just couldn't stop the ball. There was no rotation at the weak side, no rim protection. You could do what you wanted to against the Lakers. And ultimately, with the injuries, that's what took them down. And it's fitting we have white collars on today, Greeny, because we're going to administer last rites to this team. We're this close. And I don't have a dog in this fight.
Right.
If the Lakers are in it, it's probably better for us and what we do and what we talk about. But it's almost over, and we've been friends for 20 years.
Yes.
That will come to an end if you ask me one question about this team once they're officially eliminated. Once they're officially eliminated. Not yet. But it's close. And okay. Once it happens, I better not hear that word out of your mouth.
Then let me sneak one more in while I've still got you here.
Okay.
And that is, assuming, look, they have four games left this year. I think it's Phoenix, Golden State, Oklahoma yes. City, and then Denver in that order. Let's assume they don't make some sort of miracle last run here. Do they need to trade Anthony Davis if they are going to try and put together a championship team around LeBron in the short term?
Well, they are absolutely going to explore that. Now, the question is, getting a buyer also. This is a guy that's hurt a lot. He's at a different stage of his career. And everybody wants to trade Russell Westbrook, too. Well, that's not the easiest thing in the world either when you make $40-plus million at this stage of his career. So, yeah, it's easy to say that. To actually make it happen is a different story. Look, if you can sit there and let your mind wander for a second and think about if the guy can stay healthy, if LeBron James can be healthy next year, those two guys together, you remake the supporting cast, are the Lakers right back in the mix again? That's what I think they tend to think. We'll see, though. But I think everything is open. They're probably going to look at Frank Vogel, too, which I think is completely unfair based on the injuries and the roster construction he had nothing to do with. Frank Vogel knows how to coach. He didn't forget that in 2 years. They just won a championship. But they're going to look at that as well. And he might end up being the fall guy. And, again, I think that would be completely unfair.
But the likeliest scenario is that he is not the coach anymore, yes?
Very good chance, yes.
Yeah, it feels that way. All right, I'm going to do my best to continue treading lightly around this topic with Legler as we continue. And Magic Johnson will offer his thoughts as this morning continues. In the meantime, to the NFL, our first stop, Kansas City, where Patrick Mahomes is preparing for life without Tyreek Hill. And he was talking about the process of trading Hill and what that Chiefs offense will look like in the future. And here's what he said, quote, "This is definitely going to be a transition year where we try to figure out how we're going to have success with this team. When I had all these offensive linemen come in last year, I knew I had to set an example of how we do things. I'll continue to evolve. I'll continue to be that example this year for the receiving room." And just an interesting thought popped into my head, because we've had a lot of debate on the show over the last week or so about just how much they will miss Tyreek Hill. And so let me put it this way. Dominique, you played corner in the NFL. If for the last few years walking onto the field, you were scared to the level of 10 going up against them, the value of your fear walking on the field against them was a 10. What would it be now?
4? I mean, Tyreek Hill is terrifying. Like, he has it's not just the straight line track speed, like world-class track speed, which can turn any play into a touchdown. It's the short area quickness. You combine that with Patrick Mahomes' ability, there's no one in the league that's more likely to embarrass you on any given Sunday, Thursday, or Monday than Tyreek Hill in that offense. They did it week after week after week. And I can imagine, because I wasn't in the league while he was in the league, but I can imagine that a whole week's worth of preparation is about stopping that guy, because he is the only guy on that team that can break you in one play. We saw it in a playoff game. The most unlikely scenarios, he did it time and time again. It wasn't Patrick Mahomes making miraculous deep down the field passes. It was short passes to Tyreek Hill and then him putting his two fingers up out of disrespect and utter speed to the end zone.
So, Damian Woody, let me ask it to you this way then. So out goes Tyreek Hill. In come Juju Smith-Schuster and Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Is this a team? I know they weren't the one seed last year, but they've been the best team in the AFC for the last 4 years, let's say. Are they still?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I still think they're the best team in the AFC West. You know why? Because they got Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. You know, this is also a team that rebuilt their offensive line. So I think Andy Reid is looking at this situation saying, you know what? Yes, Tyreek Hill is the guy that keeps defensive coordinators up at night, but there's more than one way to skin a cat as far as winning football games. And when you have Patrick Mahomes, you can figure things out. Remember, Andy Reid is a coach that Andy Reid won three NFC championship games with Todd Pinkston and James Thrash as the leading receivers. So Andy Reid is one of the best coaches this league has ever seen, and they still have a Hall of Fame tight end. They will figure this thing out. As long as you got Patrick Mahomes, you're still one of the best teams in the National Football League.
They also have a lot of draft capital, Dan Graziano, in a draft-rich or wide receiver-rich draft class. But I have gotten an inkling from you that they might have another surprise up their sleeve somewhere along the line. Could there be another move out there that the Chiefs might be considering making beyond drafting Tyreek Hill's heir apparent?
There are still free agent wide receivers, right? There's the Odell Beckham, you know, crew, et cetera. But, there's also still potential trades. And, there's a lot of chatter around the league right now about DK Metcalf in Seattle, because what if the Seahawks get to the point with him that they did with Russell Wilson, where they feel like down the road we're not going to want to give him this contract that he's going to want, given where the wide receiver market's going, then maybe we look into trading him. They're not to that point yet, but that's what the receiver market is going to continue to churn because of these big contracts that have been handed out. I mean, Brandon Cooks in Houston is a guy you could get right now, and he's a speedy guy. So there, I think there's still a lot of movement at that wide receiver position. But to Dominique's initial point, this is not a replaceable player.
Cook is a speedy guy. Right. There's lots of receivers that are out there, and I agree with D. Wood that there's more than one way to skin a cat. However, when you have Tyreek Hill, you are not skinning the cat. You are blowing the cat out of the stadium. You don't have to worry about skinning it. It's not a problem.
Wait, but if we went from Tyreek Hill, that's a 10. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it's a 4. What if I put DK Metcalf on that team? What number does that add up to?
Oh, yeah, I think DK is a guy that you can get the ball, he can make things
happen. Is that a 10 again?
No, it's certainly not a 10 again. I think that, because DK Metcalf is a type of receiver, which is a very dominant type of receiver. Tyreek Hill is all the types of receivers. If Tyreek Hill was 6'3", they would start a religion based around his athleticism, because he does everything that is possible. I'm telling you, Greeny, watch this man play. He is as good a running back as many running backs in the league. He's as fast. He's faster than everyone in the league, and he's as quick as the quickest person in the league. I'm telling you, as a cornerback, it's frightening. As a defensive coordinator, it's terrifying.
Quick final word, go.
No, that's the defensive coordinator thing. When you talk to opposing coaches, that's the guy they always bring up ahead of the Kansas City game. Anthony Lynn, when he was with the Chargers, once said to me, "We'll be okay as long as that creature doesn't destroy the game."
I know.
That's what he was referring to.
I watched DK Metcalf run down Buda Baker from behind one time, and he could eat apples off the top of your head. He's so tall.
I'm telling you that DK Metcalf is a great chase down tackler. There we go. That's what he does better than Tyreek Hill.
Let me get to a break, but I'm not sure I'm buying this one quite yet. In the meantime, as we continue another wide receiver move, after a quiet free agency period, the Patriots finally jump in with both feet. Will that move be enough in the crowded AFC? We'll talk about it. Plus, don't miss Magic Johnson Live, 9:30 Eastern today on basketball and on life as we know it. Going to be fun. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Right, we're back on Get Up, and we had the rarest of rarities this past week, a trade between division rivals, the Patriots getting Devontae Parker from the Dolphins, and an exchange of draft picks also went in there. Parker had 40 catches, 2 touchdowns in 10 games last season, and I guess the question to ask, D. Wood, I'll start it with you. We've been wondering, when will the Patriots jump in here to all the wheeling and dealing, and they needed a top-line receiver. Is this the move they needed to make? Does this make that a playoff team in the jam-packed AFC?
Yeah, I don't know if it makes New England a playoff team this because the AFC is so jam-packed, like you said, but I do like the move for New England. It does give them a bona fide wide receiver on the outside that they really haven't had. Now, I think Devontae Parker needs to stay healthy. That's been one of the things that's been holding him back, is not being able to be healthy. But I think him with Mac Jones, I think his production is going to go up, because in my opinion, Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Tua. So I think this is a good move for New England and Devontae Parker as far as his career moving forward.
But wait a minute, okay, so Mac. All right, so you got the two quarterbacks from Alabama. Hold on, I hadn't planned to go there, but why not?
Mac Jones overachieved, I mean, based on expectations last year. But I think Mac Jones went into a pretty good situation. Great offensive line and awesome defense. Tua has had 3 offensive coordinators in 2 years. He had the worst offensive line possibly that we've seen in several years in football as far as protection concern. And he had a head coach and an owner who presumably, based on all the stories that we have, did not get along.
Right.
That is a terrible, terrible situation. And I believe he was similar to Mac Jones or to Mac Jones last year, even with all that against him. I think that Tua may not be like a world beater top 5 quarterback. He's going to have a much better season, in my view, than Mac Jones in his coming season.
I look at the uncertainty around the coaching staff, and I don't think enough has been made of this in New England, right? Mac Jones had Josh McDaniels, veteran offensive coordinator, last year. He is now the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. Who is going to coach the offense in New England? We don't really know, but indications are that it's going to be Matt Patricia and Joe Judge in some sort of combination. Nothing against those guys, but they haven't coached any offense, right? They're defensive coordinator and a special teams coordinator. Right. Both, of course, have been head coaches as well. So a lot of uncertainty there, a lot of transition. And yes, transition in Miami too, but the new head coach in Miami is an offensive guy. Like he'll have a plan, and he'll be able to articulate it to the quarterback.
So put all that into the pot, because it's fair. Right now, if you were drafting again and you could take one of those two guys on your team, throw out whatever else is on your team. Are you taking Tua or are you taking Mac Jones?
I'm taking Mac Jones, because I know Mac Jones is going to be available every week. Mac Jones is accurate. He's not, you know, the greatest athlete, but I know he's going to be there and he's going to be accurate with the football. He's going to put the football where it needs to be put. So with that, just off of that alone, I'm taking Mac Jones.
How about you, Dominique? Right now, you can starting a team, could have either one of those two guys.
Yeah, I'll take Tua. I think Tua is a better quarterback than Mac Jones. I know we don't have a ton of evidence to point to it, but we just saw those stats. They were very similar, and nobody would disagree with the fact that Mac Jones was in a better situation last year than Tua was.
Final situation's word. All that matters, and the right. Dolphins have put a ton of pieces right. around Tua. The Patriots do everything on the cheap and look for value, and that's what they did in acquiring Devontae Parker.
We'll see. And look, I mean, both of them play in a division where we all think Buffalo is the best team, so they'll right. be in that fight yeah. for a wild card, and we'll see where it winds up going. Hold that thought. I'd like to come back to this, but I want to make sure everyone's aware that we are now approaching a very special day. So you know that every April 15th is a special day in the game of baseball, but this year it is the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson shattering the color barrier and setting the stage for momentous change across our society. In Robinson's own words, a life is not important except in the impact it has on other lives. So today, his own son shares a powerful story of life with Jackie and how it epitomizes an enduring legacy. It's part of Black History Always.
On a personal level, my father wanted to build a strong family and be a strong father. He grew up in a house without a father. He wanted to be someone who could support his mother, who grew up as a sharecropper, and his grandmother, who was born a slave. He was a man of few words, but a man of action, responsibility. He did not give a long lecture about responsibility, but when it was my turn to cut the grass, for example, Saturday morning, supposed to be out early cutting the grass. And I have, on a few occasions, been caught laying in bed and I'd hear the lawnmower start. And I'd look out the window and I'd see my father cutting the grass that I was supposed to cut. So he didn't have to give me a lecture about responsibility and shirking responsibility. He went out and said, you know, that there's a job that needs to be done. And you can either take that responsibility and do it, or somebody might have to do it for you. And it's to your greater shame if it's your own father.
I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
This is a picture of my father and I at the March on Washington. You know, being a father was important to him. And so every opportunity he got, he would take his children by the hand or the shoulder and try to show them life with his arm around me, leading me in the front of that march to say, without words, this, son, is part of your inheritance. This is a challenge that you are going to have, you know, he could see at that point. This is not something that was going to be achieved in a single generation. And I think that's one of the difficulties of our generations today is understanding who you are, where you've come from, what your responsibilities are, and what, in fact, the purpose of life is.
For nearly 40 years, David Robinson has lived in Tanzania, where he and his wife, who is from that East African country, raised their 10 children and operate a coffee farm. He's also the director of the Jackie Robinson Foundation. Please join us again tomorrow as we count down to April 15th with another firsthand reflection in our series, Jackie to Me. In the meantime, coming up here, more from the NFL. The NFC East looks like the Cowboys' division to lose. So why are so many of our guys set signing fly, Eagles fly? We'll talk about that. Plus, KD went off for a double nickel this weekend, but Brooklyn's defense may not be worth a penny. Are the Nets serious contenders in the East? We'll answer that question next.
Well,
Welcome back to Get Up, and another reminder, 1 hour from now, Magic Johnson in our studio, talking about the Lakers, talking about the East, talking about the MVP, and candidly, anything else he feels like talking about. It's Magic Johnson with us live today on ESPN. Meanwhile, Timmy Legler in our studio. Let's run the floor. Legs. Joel Embiid dropped 44 in a win over the Cavs yesterday. What did you see from Philly?
Impressive win on the road against a good team. Joel Embiid dominant once again. And James Harden wasn't great, but he was very good in the fourth quarter, getting to the line and making the game a lot easier for Embiid. That's what it's all about for James Harden playing point.
Embiid still hanging in that MVP race as well. Speaking of which, we had on ABC Luka and the Mavs knocking out Giannis and the Bucks by six. What did you see here?
Yeah, Luka Doncic was absolutely spectacular in this game as a scorer, as a playmaker. This game was back and forth the entire way. Dallas takes over in the fourth quarter. Dallas quietly has played themselves into a role now where you can see them actually doing some damage in the Western Conference playoffs.
They're only one game behind Golden State right now, and Luka, from about the midpoint of the season on, has been as good as anybody in the sport. Speaking of which, there's Kevin Durant. The good news on Saturday night was he scored 55 points. The bad news is it wasn't enough. The Hawks beat the Nets 122-115. Listen to KD after that defeat.
Put in a bonus early every quarter. 37 to 14 free throw mix. Like, and it's not because of the refs. It was like because we reaching and being undisciplined and just playing too aggressive, you know? So it's like just fouls. And we can't do that if we want to be a winning team. You know, even though guys are missing shots and, you know, it's the detail stuff we got to just lock in on and do better.
So what he's pointing out is what you can clearly see if you watch them play. They can't stop anybody. And so the question is, with Kevin Durant at full strength and Kyrie Irving at full strength and the other pieces they've put around them, they're going to be in the play, and it's that seems basically to be in stone. Can they make that deep run in the Eastern Conference we've all been projecting?
Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, let's save that clip. That's the only time you're going to hear a player say it wasn't the refs when there's that kind of a free throw disparity. Really, honesty right there out of KD, because he knows there are issues on the defensive end of the floor. Like, I think it's more likely that they go out early than they make a playoff run. And look, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving on the floor at the same time, they're going to give you a chance every night to win any one game. The problem is when you get into a playoff series, assuming they get out of the play-in, you now have an ability to start to tweak your game plan against those two guys. And if you make them just a little bit less efficient, the fact that they can't really stop anybody, they can't grind out wins. They're going to have to win shootouts because they play smaller lineups. They're soft defensively. You can get where you need to. They can get beat up on their own defensive glass. So they can't get to five or six stops consecutively when you have to in a tight spot. You're just going to have to continue to rely on great shot making out of two players. That's not a formula for long-term postseason success, particularly when you're going to play teams eventually, if you go farther, teams like Miami that are great defensively, teams like Philadelphia that can play really good defense, Milwaukee as well, Boston, been the best defensive team in the league. Those are the four teams you're looking at the top. You're not going to win a series against a team like that. That can beat them four times when you can't string together four or five stops in the fourth quarter of games. And that's what Kevin Durant is alluding to, and he's 100% right.
We'll see. There's no reason at this point to believe that they're going to get Ben Simmons back in any meaningful way to make a run here. So they're going to have to do what those two guys, plus the cast they've put around them, Seth Curry and some of the other pieces. Let's go back to Philly, who we saw at the beginning of that rip. When they first made that deal, and for the first week or maybe a little longer than that, it looked so good. Since then, maybe not so much. Philly versus the Nets. Who's got the deeper shelf life, do you think, in the playoffs this year?
Wow, the Nets, that might be the one team the Nets could take care of, because I think Philadelphia is relying so heavily on James Harden being great. If he's not great, as much as he dominates the ball, they're going to have a very difficult time regardless of how good Joel Embiid has been, because you're talking about a center. There are ways to address centers defensively when you get into a playoff series in terms of taking the ball out of his hands, hitting him with blitzes whenever you can, and then it really falls on James Harden to bail you out. I don't think James Harden is the same player that he was at his peak in Houston. He just doesn't have the ability to win every matchup that's in front of him individually. That's what he relied on for years in Houston. He struggles with that on a night-to-night basis now. So if you get into a series and you could come up with a game plan game-to-game to adjust to Embiid, they don't have a lot of three-point shooting. They're last in the league in bench scoring. And James Harden is not consistently great the way that he was 4 or 5 years ago. That doesn't sound like a great formula for Philly. And Brooklyn might be the one team, because of the greatness of KD and Kyrie, they could get through a series against a team like Philadelphia for all the reasons that I just stated. I just don't know that Philly right now, after seeing a large enough sample size with these two guys together, I don't know that they're in the same category as a Milwaukee and a Miami. Boston, I don't know. Robert Williams, that's a big loss. And yeah. Brooklyn, obviously, we just talked about their issues. But I think Milwaukee, Miami are on a different shelf right now, maybe, than Philly.
So, interestingly, when all is said and done, after the trade that shook up everything with Simmons and Harden and all of that, you don't think either of these teams winds up in the conference final?
If I had to bet money on it right now, I think Milwaukee's going back to the finals. I think they've got their three stars healthy. They're just getting Brook Lopez back, and what he means defensively, you can't overstate that. Mm-hmm. And also, Pat Connaughton was out for a long time. So, their rotation is rounding into form, and they've got their three stars healthy, and Giannis is playing at an MVP level once again. If I had to put money on it, Greeny, today, I would say Milwaukee goes back to the finals.
Now, we will see. Stay close by. We'll have much more with legs as we go. We will have Milwaukee tomorrow night, by the way. We have a special Tuesday NBA marquee matchup coming your way tomorrow night. We will see Giannis and the Bucks taking on DeRozan and the Bulls. 8 Eastern. We will start your night with a one-hour edition of NBA Countdown. So that's 7 Eastern tomorrow night right here on ESPN. Meanwhile, over the weekend, college basketball, you watched it. North Carolina upsetting Duke in the Final Four in what was now Coach K's final game. He finishes with 1,202 wins, most by any head coach in the men's or women's game in the history of the sport, but obviously too shy of where he wanted it to finish. And here's my uncle Seth, Seth Greenberg, no relation. It was a classic. It was that rarity, Seth, a game with all the hype in the world that not only lives up to it, but exceeds what we could have imagined. How do you believe this loss stays with Coach K as he goes off into retirement?
Well, it doesn't impact his legacy at all. But in terms of as he goes off into retirement, you think about this. Now, Coach K, his whole adult life, basically, has been at Duke, all right? He woke up every single morning with the purpose of, what can I do to make Duke basketball better? What can I do in terms of recruiting, scheduling, the program, facilities, everything that surrounds being a head basketball coach at Duke? What can I do to make it better? That was his passion. That was what he absolutely lived for. He's going to wake up Wednesday morning. You know what? What's going to be his why? And you know what? When he's sitting there by himself thinking about his career, he's not going to think about the 5 national championships, the Olympic gold medals. He's not going to be thinking about the players whose lives he impacted. In the back of his mind, knowing how competitive he is, I think it's going to go back to that game at Cameron and that game the other night in the semifinals. And it's unfortunate because he should be thinking about all the great things that he accomplished in his career, and his family will be around him and they'll talk about those things. Mm-hmm. But as fiercely as competitive as he is, I think that this thing's going to stick with him for a while.
Well, so with that thought in mind, Seth, and it's such, it is, I have to imagine, the worst possible way for it to have ended, a first ever meeting with their arch rival in the Final Four of all things and falling short. I joked on my radio show last week, if he loses that game, he has to come back. He can't retire off of that. Let me ask it to you only slightly jokingly. Is there any chance he changes his mind and comes back?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Green, I'm going to give you a little preview. Good morning. It's time to get up. The GOAT. Is he retiring or is he coming back? Green, there's no chance he's coming back. Look, he's had an incredible career. An incredible career. Think about the championships. Again, I go back to the lives he's impacted. But no, it's his time to walk away. He understands that. He can look in the mirror and be comfortable with that. The bigger question is, where does he go moving forward? What is going to be his passion moving forward? But no, this is John Shire's program. All right, John Shire now has to basically create his own vision for what this program is going to look like under his leadership.
And let me very quickly ask you about the game tonight, and we'll have a more chance to talk about it a little bit later. But, I mean, coming off of that, North Carolina won a championship on Saturday night. I don't care what anybody says. How do they have themselves ready to go tonight against a Kansas team that for the last three halves has looked like the best team in the country?
Hubert Davis has been an incredible leader. I think what they did is after they won that game, they went back, had their team meal, and he told those guys, I'm proud of you. Hey, you need to enjoy it. You need to appreciate this. And then you know what he did? He said, all right, visit with your family, go upstairs, turn off your phones, put them away. When you come back down here for breakfast, all right, all of a sudden we're moving forward on, because we didn't, you know, come here to win the semifinal game. We came here to win the national championship. This game's going to come down to a couple things. Obviously, establish Armando Bacot. Is his ankle going to be good? But there's also another thing, Greeny. What does Love have to do with it? Love has to do everything with it. He had 26 in the second half against Duke. He had 27 in the second half against UCLA. So Caleb Love's going to have a little bit to do with this. This will be a great championship game, but I think he will have his team ready to play and compete at a very high level against a very good Kansas team. And this is a Final Four and a national championship. This isn't about players. This is about programs, two elite programs.
Oh, no question. All right, I'll pin you down on who's going to win a little bit later. Stay close by. Get Up brought to you this morning by Wendy's, a proud sponsor of the 2022 John R. Wooden Men's and Women's Player of the Year. Choose wisely. Choose Wendy's. Coming up, he's trying to choose what he's going to do this week. Tiger Woods, will he or won't he at the Masters? We'll go live to Augusta for the answer right after this. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Question you're trying to ask.
Be better tomorrow.
I'm not answering this. That's a clown question, bro.
Next.
Mike, why are you in such a bad mood?
What do you care?
What else do you want to know?
Next question.
Your next question.
Next question.
I'm not going to answer any questions from you.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
That open will live forever on this program. As far as I'm concerned, this is the part of the show where I will ask a series of hard-hitting, provocative questions to Dominique Foxworth, and he has to answer them whether he's ready or not. And the first one is as tough as it probably has ever been. The AFC West might be the best division ever.
Yeah.
Who's going to win it?
And for the first time in many years, I'm going away from the Chiefs. I think it's the Chargers. You look at the Chargers roster, and they do have some growth to be done with some of the youth on their roster and with the coaching staff. But you add Khalil Mack opposite Bosa. You add J.C. Jackson opposite Asante Samuel. You still have Derwin James. You still have Rashawn Slater. You still have Allen and Williams and Eckler. And I haven't even gotten to the best piece of the puzzle is the quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I do think that the Chargers take this division this year.
That is remarkable, and it could literally be a place where four teams have a shot to make the playoffs, which is possible in the new structure. Meanwhile, on the other side, we got the Rams, we got the Bucks. They seem to have separated themselves in the NFC. So right now, if I'm telling you they're playing each other in the championship game of that conference, who wins?
I got to stick with the Rams. The Tom Brady effect is pulling me. I'm susceptible to that just like everyone else. But you got Kupp and Stafford. Great building blocks for an offense. They're going to have to replace some offensive linemen, including Whitworth. Then on the other side, you got Jalen Ramsey on one side, and you got Aaron Donald in the center. And then they had Bobby Wagner, which I think is a big deal when it comes to facing teams that major in play action like the 49ers. So I'm going to go with the Rams for now.
The acquisition, actually, of Wagner, on Friday, I couldn't get anyone here that excited about it, which surprised me because I guess the question is how much he has left on the field at his age. His leadership unquestioned, and at his best, he's been as good as anybody.
Exactly. So, yeah, he may not be all pro for years and years to come, but he's still playing good football, and I think his intelligence is what's going to help them when it comes to playing teams like the 49ers who attack the middle of the field with play action.
I'm with you. All right, so we started with the best division. The NFC East, certainly last year it was the worst division. Right. Who's going to win that this year?
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I know it sounds crazy, and you expect me to say Cousin Dak and the Cowboys, but they're losing a lot, and the Eagles are a playoff team with an outstanding offensive line, a young quarterback that's getting better, and three first-round picks in the top 20. So one of those picks is going to hit, right? You got to hit on one of those picks, and that's enough, I think, to win that topsy-turvy division.
Danny Graziano, that's your stomping grounds. You cover – uh-oh, he's doing the fly, Eagles, fly. You covered the NFC East for us for a year. Is that the team to beat in your mind right now in that division?
Look, we know the Cowboys aren't going to win it because no one ever repeats as NFC East champions. It's been 18 years, and that's no coincidence. I don't think the Giants are ready, and I'm not a big Carson Wentz believer. You know who else isn't? The Eagles, because they got rid of him and went with Jalen Hurts. So, yeah, I think that they have a defined offense. They know who they are. They like to run the ball. They ask Hurts to do what he can, and I think they'll beef up that defense in the draft.
Do I have D. Wood with me here? I can't see him. D. Wood, is he with us? D. Wood, is this blasphemy, as our friend Stephen A. would say, Eagles over the Cowboys in the NFC East?
No, not at all. I think the Eagles will win the NFC East. Listen, the moves coming from the Cowboys, I just don't like. You got an aging offensive line. Amari Cooper's in Cleveland. Randy Gregory, who to me is the biggest part of this whole thing, is now Denver Bronco. I'm just not there with the Dallas Cowboys right now. I think the Eagles are on the upswing. They got a bunch of draft capital. I'm going with the Eagles.
Give me the one more, just because I think everyone here, I think I speak for everyone when I say that we all enjoyed it. Rob, when you have a moment here, you can see that Vegas still likes the Cowboys in that division. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys always get a little extra pop, especially this time of year. But I think I speak for everyone when I say we want to see one more time the Eagles fly.
Look at that wingspan.
That's at least like a 5'8" wingspan.
That is a pigeon.
Intimidating.
With Jalen Hurts of it all is the part of it that I find fascinating. Nick Sirianni was talking over the weekend about all of the how hard he's working. Is he going to be the guy there long term? Because if so, and they've got all that draft capital, then not only are they good now, they should be even better in the future.
I don't think Philadelphia thinks he's the long term answer, but I do think that he's a serviceable quarterback right now. He's an above average quarterback, someone that they can trust as long as they build the offense designed around the things that he does well. And I think Nick Sirianni deserves some credit because I and other people were laughing at him this time last year, and he did a good job.
Okay, so then I'm just throwing this in there because earlier we sort of organically arrived at a question we hadn't expected. I'm adding a name, Damian Woody. Uh-oh. We got Jalen Hurts, we got Tua, we got Mac Jones, all the Alabama quarterbacks. Uh-huh. If you were picking one of them right now to start your team with absent everything else, which one you got?
Mac Jones.
He loves Mac Jones.
Yeah, he loves
him. He loves Mac Jones.
I'm taking the Eagles offensive line. I'll go with Tua.
So you chose other? Is what you're saying?
I took Tua. I made a choice.
How about you, Graziano?
I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's done more than the other. I like him. I like everything about that kid.
But we will see. I think they do in Philly, too. We'll see what winds up happening. In the meantime, we will have more football as we go. But speaking of a place where to make birdies, let's go to the most beautiful place in the world. You are looking at Augusta National, where, of course, it is Masters Week, which for many of us is the best week of the year, and we are getting set to bring you all the sights and the sounds, beginning with the par 3 contest on Wednesday, and then Thursday and Friday we'll have round 1 coverage. And in case word has not reached you, there is potential for an enormous story there this weekend. Tiger Woods tweeting yesterday he will be a, quote, game-time decision at the Masters. So here is our Andy North. Andy, what is your sense? What do the folks down there expect, those who've seen Tiger walking the course over the course of the last week? What is your expectation for Thursday?
Well, Greeny, Tiger was here yesterday afternoon, played some holes late in the day. He's scheduled to play later on this afternoon. As you said, game time decision. I think that's critical. I don't think that's a lock cinch that just because he's here, he's going to play. He's testing it out to see how his body's going to handle not only playing this golf course, but physically getting up and down these hills, hitting shots off of awkward lies. It would be a fantastic amount of excitement, obviously, if he's going to be here teeing it up Thursday. But I don't think as of yet we know. We'll probably have a little bit better idea maybe tomorrow to see what he does tomorrow.
He will meet with the media tomorrow as well. Let me ask you this. The people who've seen him play, he's played with Justin Thomas, I know, and his son Charlie. I'm not sure who else has seen him. What are people that you've talked to saying about how he looks, just from word of mouth?
Well, I think let's go back all the way back into last December when we saw him play with Charlie and the father's son. He hit the ball pretty darn well. He didn't have the strength and the stamina to go ahead and play all the shots and play, you know, consistently through that day. But we saw him hit a lot of good shots. He's been practicing really hard. Nice session on the practice range yesterday before he went out and played. And, you know, if you just come in from Mars and had no idea what happened over the last year, watching him hit balls on the range yesterday, yeah, well, Tiger Woods is practicing, getting ready for the Masters. It didn't look that much different than you normally would see. Now, the tough part is you watch him walk down a hill like coming off the tee at the 12th hole. You know, he's got to be careful. It's going to rain here. Will that have some impact on what his decision ends up being if he's going to see a wet golf course? But all in all, it's obviously exciting to have him here. The fact that he's even trying to play this week, I think, is awesome. But I don't think we still have any idea if he's going to tee it up on Thursday.
That's fair. Super quick, Andy. Here's the thought that I had was, I don't think he makes this decision based on whether he thinks he can walk 72 holes. I think he makes it based on whether or not he thinks he can win, which is to say, I believe if he hits a shot on Thursday, I think it's because he thinks he actually can play well enough to compete. What do you think?
Well, we know Tiger Woods well enough that he's not going to be here just to be a show pony. He's here to see if he can compete and have some sort of chance to compete and be there on Sunday afternoon. I think it's going to be fun to see if, you know, just to be here and be able to play, to walk this golf course. And I don't think we talk about enough. You know, the walking of this golf course is going to be very difficult. We all know that. But trying to play shots off of some of the side hill lies where your balance isn't really good, on two really good legs, that's hard to do. Mm. And one that he's a bit compromised, we'll have to see how he can handle that.
It's the 25-year anniversary of his first green jacket, one of the really monumental events in the history of the sport. We'll see if he can do it, Andy. We'll check in every day. Thank you, my friend. Enjoy it down there.
I
will
miss
being there this year for sure. But after a two-year absence, it is back. It is the fun and family-oriented tradition that dates back to 1960. The Par 3 contest from Augusta, Wednesday, 3 Eastern on ESPN and on the app, so you can watch from anywhere. All right, coming up, Patrick Mahomes doesn't sound too worried about losing the most dynamic weapon in the NFL. You'll hear what he said, and we'll tell you what it means as we roll on. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.